Hey, Harbor family, how are we doing this morning? Pretty good. Really good to be with you. And I'm stoked to be in the book of Proverbs. This is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible because it's all about wisdom. And like you just saw, we're getting to the topic this morning where you feel the need for wisdom more than any other time in life. That's the times when you're making big decisions in life. And you've got a lot of decisions, big and small, to make every day of your life, at least compared to like your great-grandparents. When your great-grandparents were around, they didn't have many decisions at all to make. Okay, your great-grandparents didn't decide what business to go into. They just went into the family business, usually because they were forced to start working in the family business when they were in kindergarten. There were no child labor laws back then. And so your great-grandparents just were forced into the family business. They didn't really have many decisions that way. Your great-grandparents didn't decide where to live, usually. They just lived where their great-grandparents lived. Your great-great-grandparents didn't decide who to marry. Their parents decided for them, or if they had their own choice, they only had like three options in the little town that they were living in. And so, like my great-grandpa, he told me he just chose the girl in his town who had all of her teeth. It was a really easy decision for him. They didn't have a whole lot of big decisions to make, and your life is totally different. Totally different. You decide on everything. From the moment you wake up until you go to bed, you're making a billion decisions every day. Those are just the small ones. And then you decide on a school and a major and a career. You decide who to date, who to marry, where to live. You decide how many kids you want to have. So here's the big question. How are you making all of those decisions? All those decisions in life, how do you decide which way is best? I don't know, maybe you search your feelings and you try to figure out which way will give you more peace, and that's the way you go. Or maybe you ask God to give you a sign on which way to go. You're like, God, make a blue tundra drive past me right now. Okay, it was a tundra, but it was gray. Does that count? It's kind of a grayish blue. I don't know what you're saying, God. Maybe you go that direction. Or maybe you just can't stand sitting on decisions. You just charge ahead and do something, anything. You don't care what it is. You just want to take action. And then you pray for God to bless that thing that you did. And if it was the wrong thing, you pray for God to fix that thing that you did. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you get paralyzed by big decisions, and so you don't make any decision at all. You just ride it out and let the chips fall where they may. I don't know how you make decisions in life, but what if there was a better way to make decisions? What if there was a wiser way to make decisions? Well, we're going to find it here in Proverbs chapter 3. So if you got your Bible, open to Proverbs chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a black hardback Bible somewhere around you. You can grab that. You can take that home as our gift to you if you need a Bible at home. We're in Proverbs, and remember, this book was written by the kings of Israel, and it was written to train the new kings of Israel, the young upcoming kings of Israel. And one thing about a king is that kings make a lot of decisions. That's pretty much the whole job description of a king, is making decisions all day long, every day. People are always coming to you with questions and requests and dilemmas all day. Should we go to war with the Philistines or with the Assyrians? Oh man, I don't know. Let's pick one. Should we set taxes at 70% or 90%? You're like 90 all day, definitely 90. Should we burn the rebel leader at the stake or should we go with the guillotine? You got to make these kind of decisions all day long. And so you need a strategy for making decisions. And that's what Proverbs 3 is going to give us. Look what it says right in the beginning. Proverbs 3:1. This king, probably Solomon, says, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days of full life and well-being." This is written by a king, but remember, this is scripture, so it's inspired by God, and he knows we are really forgetful people. That's why he says, "Don't forget my teaching, but instead let your heart keep my commands." I don't want you to just know my teaching. I don't want you to just agree with my teaching. I want you to love my teaching. I want you to care about my wisdom with all of your heart, because that's the only way you're going to remember my wisdom. God knows we only remember the things we care about. We remember the things we care about. So let's say your friend calls you up, texts you, whatever, and says, "Hey, there's a group of people going on a hike next week. You should come with us." You're like, "Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, awesome." But if you hate hiking, You may or may not remember when that day comes. May or may not. But let's say that friend scores some backstage passes for the artist you love. It's your favorite artist in the whole world who's coming to Hawaii for one date only. Your friend has backstage passes to this thing. You're like, sounds awesome. Yes, I'll be there. And there is no way you won't be there. There's no way you'll forget about that. We remember the things that we care about. That's the difference between keeping something and keeping something with your heart. There's a whole change that goes on when your heart is engaged. And so that's the first part of God's strategy for making decisions. Number one, we got to pursue heart change. We need strong hearts if our choices are going to be strong. Maybe you're like, okay, yeah, it sounds nice, but I didn't really come here for that. I came here because I saw that this is going to be about making decisions. I just need a few hints to help me make decisions in life. I don't need some radical heart renovation in life. That's not what I'm here for. Well, C.S. Lewis explained it this way. He told a story. He said, what if you owned a house and there was a lot that was wrong with the house? And so you called up God and you're like, hey, God, could you come over and fix a few things in my house? And God's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I got you. Next Saturday, I'll come over. And so next Saturday, God comes over and he fixes the leaky faucet. He unclogs the stop drain. He does some great things in your house. But then he just keeps working. He just keeps doing things. He adds a whole new wing to your house. He adds two new levels to your house. He adds waterfalls and pools and gardens all around your house. And you're like, God, yeah, this is great and all, but I'm not sure my neighbors are gonna like this monster house that you're building here. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? God's like, absolutely, because I wanna build a palace. It's gonna be way better than that little house that you had. Here's why I'm building a palace, because my plan is to come and live in this house. It's got to be ready for me. That's the kind of radical renovation that Proverbs is talking about here, this whole house renovation, whole heart renovation that we need. Because if you're going to make good decisions in life, man, wouldn't you want the one who created life to come and live in your house with you? Help you make those decisions every day? Absolutely we would, but he's gonna have to do some renovations to make it ready for him. He's gonna have to do some major work on your life and your heart to make that happen. Then, as he lives inside of you, he'll guide you in the everyday decisions you gotta make. Look at what it says in verse 3. Verse 3, never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll find favor and high regard with God and people. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. What we're talking about here is just everyday, moment by moment, faithfulness. So you know what he's saying? The next part of God's strategy for making decisions is number two, just stay faithful in the small things. If you wanna be faithful and wise in the big decisions, you gotta start with the small little decisions. Just do what you know is right every day. In a few minutes, God's going to talk about your life as a path. It's an image that's used all through Scripture. More than 700 times, it talks about your life as a path. It's a path that you're walking down. Now, some of you, your life might have been a very straight path. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. You can't remember when you didn't know Jesus. You knew exactly what you wanted to do when you grew up, and so you went to school for that. You got a job in that area immediately after you graduated. You found the perfect spouse. You popped out 2.5 amazing kids. Your life is just exactly the way that it should be. It's the American dream that you're living. Your life was straight. Well, that's awesome for you, but for 95% of us, that's not how our life has gone, right? Our life has been full of twists and turns and triumphs and tragedies and crises that we didn't see coming. And so, if I were to ask you to draw me a diagram of your life, how would you draw it? It would be a bunch of highs and lows, probably. The path of your life would just zigzag all over. Triumphs and tragedies all over. But here's the thing. The way you get down a path, the way you walk down any path, is just to put one foot in front of the other. That's the only way you get down a path. You just take small steps and be consistent in that. You just show up to work every day. That's how you get down the path of your life. You just love your family every day. You just keep serving in church every week. Those are the kinds of things you wouldn't put on the drawing, the diagram of the path of your life, but those are the things that more than anything else will determine your life. Those are the things that make you who you are. I mean, yeah, the big decisions that you make about your school and your major and your spouse and your career, they shape your life. But it's the small little manini decisions that you make every day that shape your habits. And your habits, those are what shape your life more than anything else. So family, if you feel overwhelmed by some big decision that you got to make in life right now, here's what you got to do. Be faithful in the small decisions that you're making every day. Just do the next small thing that God puts in front of you. Just stay faithful in the minute. And that faithful minute will become a faithful hour. It'll become a faithful week, become a faithful month and year, which will become a faithful and fruitful life. Your big decisions will be shaped by the small little things that you do every day. That's what it says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. It's probably the most famous verses in all of Proverbs, but they're also some of the most challenging, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Here's what he's saying. And here's the next part of God's strategy for making decisions. Number 3, you got to question yourself. Have to question yourself. Don't rely on your own understanding, especially when you're making decisions. I know our culture has been telling you your whole life to believe in yourself, to follow your heart. Well, Proverbs tells us over and over again to question yourself and doubt your heart. There's an easy way to tell if you don't question yourself. You know what it is? It's when you get really defensive when other people question you. That's the best sign you've got. I mean, yeah. We all get defensive at first when somebody questions us. That's just our default reaction. That's our sin nature. But the question is, does that defensiveness dissolve over time? After a few minutes, after a few hours, after a few days, if you sleep on it, can you say, okay, that person wasn't completely right about me, but they were right about this part of me. So I gotta change this part of me. If you can do that, that is a great sign that you're able to question yourself, that you don't rely on your own understanding. And when you're able to do that, that really frees you up. When you're able to question yourself and you've got the habit of questioning yourself, then you don't have to seek approval from other people all the time. You'll know, I probably don't deserve it, and so I don't need to go out trying to find it. When you have a habit of questioning yourself, you won't compare yourself to other people all the time. You'll know, I'm probably gonna end up falling short a lot of the time. When you have a habit of questioning yourself, you won't be afraid of failure all the time. You'll expect failure, and you'll be ready and prepared to grow through failure. You'll fail forward. Questioning yourself just frees you up. It's when you're not leaning on your own understanding and wisdom. That's when you're most free in life. Tim Keller said something profound. He said, foolish people think they're wise, but wise people know they're fools. Foolish people think they're wise. Wise people know that they're fools. And so wise people question themselves all the time. That's what it's saying in the next few verses. Look at verse 7. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. So here's one more part of God's strategy for making decisions. Number 4, trust God's sovereignty, which is just a big theological way of saying, trust that God is in control. Trust that he is wise and good. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Trust that God is wise. And then he's got your life figured out. If you can trust him in that, trust his sovereignty, that'll make it easy for you to turn away from evil. And if you trust the Lord and turn away from evil, that'll make a lot of decisions in life really easy, really easy. Like, let's say you're selling your car on Facebook Marketplace. You've got a decision to make. What am I going to disclose about my car? You got to decide that, right? Do I withhold the truth about my car and make more money? Or do I disclose the slightly leaky water pump? It's just a small little leak, and make less money. Maybe a lot less money. What do I do? So let's say you're standing there in the parking lot at Safeway. You're showing your car to some rando who asks you, you got any issues with your car? You're thinking inside, okay, I need this money because I want to take that trip. So if I disclose the slightly leaky water pump, I might not make enough money to do that trip. Should I disclose it or not? Well, Proverbs is telling you it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer if you fear the Lord, if you trust him and his sovereignty and trust him to give you the money you need to take that trip or to make you okay with not taking the trip and to give you joy and peace apart from that trip. That decision should be easy if you trust God's sovereignty. Now, there's other decisions that aren't black and white like that, right and wrong. A lot of decisions you're deciding between good and slightly more good, or you're deciding between bad and slightly less bad. Now, being wise in your own eyes happens when we think we can always make the right decision in those kinds of situations. Right? How arrogant is it for me to think that if I pray hard enough, if I'm really in tune with the Holy Spirit, if I do enough research, if I talk to enough people, that I can always make the right decision? How arrogant is that? Man, if you could always make the right decision, you never would have bought that car with a slightly leaky water pump in the first place. That's never how life works, but we think it is. We think if I choose the right spouse, we'll never fight. If I chose the right school, I would have a better job. If I choose the right school for my kids, public school, home school, private school, it'll make them successful and godly and happy. Man, that's being wise in your own eyes. That's trusting your sovereignty over your life more than God's sovereignty over your life. You got to trust God's sovereignty in your decisions, even when it seems like you made the wrong decision. How many times are you like, oh, man, I chose the wrong career. Ah, I think we chose the wrong house. I wonder if I chose the wrong spouse. Sometimes we just get anxious feeling like we made the wrong decision in life. But when we're anxious like that, we're being wise in our own eyes. I mean, how arrogant is it to believe that one bad decision in life can completely derail God's plan for your life? How arrogant is that? Proverbs 16:9 says, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. What is he saying? Yeah, you can make plans. It's really good to make plans, but it's the Lord who determines your steps. It's the Lord who makes the final plan. And the Lord's plan for your life includes the bad planning that you do in life. The Lord's plan for your life includes the bad decisions that you've made in life. Because his son Jesus paid for your bad decisions when he died on the cross, and then he'll redeem your bad decisions through his resurrection from the grave. We think life is kind of like a game show. Like, you remember that game show, Let's Make a Deal? I think it's still on TV, actually. But whenever I got to stay home from school, which wasn't very often, I wasn't usually able to convince my parents that I was sick enough to stay home from school. But whenever I was successful, I'd watch Let's Make a Deal. And as a part of Let's Make a Deal, if you get selected for the big deal of the day, what they do is they take you in front of three doors. You got to choose one door, only one door for them to open. Behind one of those doors, there's a new car. It's amazing what you can get behind that one door. But then behind the other two doors, there's like a tricycle or a goat. There's just something that you really don't want. And so the pressure is on. This minute, you got to decide the right door. You better make that decision now. You better make it good or else you'll miss out forever. Family, that's what we think all of life is like. But what Proverbs is telling us is that life is less about making the right decisions and more about trusting the right Lord. Less about making the right decisions and more about trusting the right Lord. It's important to make good decisions, but if you trust the right Lord, he'll redeem your bad decisions. He will. You'll never have FOMO if you trust God. In first service, somebody was like, "You sure about that?" They wanted a guarantee on that. I gave my guarantee. You will never have a fear of missing out if you trust God completely. Never. Because you know that it's his plan who determines your steps. You'll never miss out on anything. Remember that when you're paralyzed by some decision. Trust God's sovereignty. Don't try to be wise with your own eyes. And that leads to one last strategy, last part of God's strategy for making decisions. Number five, rely on others. Rely on others, because being wise in your own eyes means trying to do life all on your own, just independently. When God has given you a whole community here in this church of wise, strong, spirit-empowered people all around you, I know it's hard to ask God, hard to ask other people for advice. Really hard, because it means we got to swallow our pride and admit we don't know something. And we don't like to do that, especially dudes, right, dudes? We do not want to do that. Praise God for Google Maps so we never have to ask anybody for directions. Ever again, just ask your phone, ask Siri. It's wonderful. We hate asking people for advice. And even when we can work our way up to asking for advice, a lot of times we only want to listen to certain people's advice. Teenagers, they don't want to listen to their parents' advice. They want to listen to TikTok's advice, right? That's all the advice that I need. And we think that's dumb, but how different are we? We categorize the types of advice that we'll listen to. A lot of times, maybe we don't want to listen to the people from the same background as us, or culture, or same political party as us. But wisdom means seeing things through a wide variety of lenses. Wisdom comes in community. Because the different people around us in the family of God can help us see our blind spots. You can't see your blind spots. Maybe you're in your car, you've got these little flashing orange lights on your side mirrors. You've got blind spot detectors. Well, guess what? God has given you blind spot detectors in real life. It's the family of God. People here in the church, all kinds of different people here in your church who can help you see your blind spots and your biases. That's why we've got community groups here in this church. Our community groups are relaunching next week, relaunching in August, and you can find a community group that's close to you out at the Aloha table. We've got cards for them all, because there is a group of people somewhere on this island who will help you see God's plan for your life and help you pursue God's plan for your life. Proverbs 15 says, "Plans fail where there is no counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Because these many advisors in a community group, in a Bible study, in a ministry team, they'll help you see God's plan for your life. And God promises when you're pursuing his plan, it's going to succeed. There's all kinds of promises that God gives you. I don't know if you've noticed them as we've made our way just through a few verses here in Proverbs 3. Look at some of these promises that we've seen. If you keep my commands, they'll bring you full life and well-being. You'll find favor and high regard. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. I love all of those promises that God gives when we seek him in our decisions. God never says, if you do this, it's only because I told you so. Do this because I want you to. God always says, do this because it'll help you. I want you to do this because I want the best for you. That's the kind of fatherly affection that God has for you. He doesn't want you to make good decisions to try and earn his love. He wants you to make good decisions out of his love, out of his heart to bless you and help you and empower you. His promises will then be in full effect. We've seen so many things he's promising here in Proverbs 3. Like when you trust God in your decisions, he promises peace. Verse 2, it said he'll give you shalom. Shalom. This incredible biblical concept. We usually translate as well-being in the CSB or peace, but it's so much bigger than just our idea of peace. Because when I think about peace, I think about avoiding things, right? Peace to me is avoiding conflict, avoiding troubles, avoiding worries. That's peace to me. To us, peace is a negative thing, staying away from things. But to God, shalom is a positive thing. Literally, shalom means receiving the highest good. And so shalom isn't about avoiding things. It's about receiving things. It's this whole life experience about receiving intimacy with God and fellowship with his family and confidence in life. Which leads to number two. When you trust God in your decisions, he promises confidence. He says in verse 6, he'll make your paths straight. He'll make your paths straight. Here's what that doesn't mean, family. It doesn't mean he'll make your life easy. Does not mean he'll make your life easy. The path of your life ahead, it might be really twisty. Like the road to Hana. You ever been on that road? There's 617 hairpin turns on that road. I was there last year visiting a church. And so I'm driving at like 15 miles an hour, tops. I'm just inching along because I have no idea what's behind any of those curves. It's basically one lane most of the time. But then the locals come screaming by at like 50 miles an hour because they know every turn like the back of their hand. So they can drive this twisty road like it's straight. That's what God's promising for your life. There's twisty roads that are ahead of you. The road ahead might be really twisty, but you've got the person who designed that road sitting in the car with you. And so if you can follow his directions one step at a time, follow his wisdom one turn at a time, you can drive that twisty road like it's straight. You can make your way through life with confidence and boldness. And then last, growth. When you trust God with your decisions, verse 8, he promises healing for your body, strength for your bones. Healing for your body, that's literally translated health to your navel, health to your belly button. Maybe you're like, okay, what are we talking about here? Health to your belly button, what does that mean? Well, have you ever seen a newborn baby's belly button? It's disgusting, all right? It's disturbing. When the baby is born, they give the honor to the dad to cut the umbilical cord. I'm not sure it's an honor, all right? I did not enjoy this at all. You cut it like 3 or 4 inches above the belly button, and then they tie up the umbilical cord. I don't know why. Maybe your baby deflates if they don't tie it up like a helium balloon. I don't know what's going on. But then they tie it up, and then they just leave it there. Nobody prepared me for what comes next, okay? They leave it there to just rot on your baby's tummy. And so over the next few days, it starts taking on these shades of blue and brown and purple. And we're not talking about a pretty shade of purple. We're talking about the disturbing shade of purple. It looks like an alien appendage that's attached to your baby's belly until the day comes when the umbilical cord drops off. And then your baby has a nice, glowing, healthy navel after that. And that's the sign that your baby is probably going to stay healthy and keep growing and make her way through life because she has a healthy navel. God says, yeah, that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you health and growth and strength because I'm going to put the Spirit of my Son inside of you. The Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you, guiding you, protecting you, sharpening you, growing you. I'm going to come move into your house. When you've got God living in your house, you don't have to worry about your decisions anymore. You don't have to worry about what you're going to get out of this decision. You don't have to worry about what people are going to think about you as a result of this decision. All you need to ask yourself is, how is Jesus going to use me as a result of this decision? How is Jesus going to grow me as a result of this decision? Those are two great questions for you to ask in every decision. How can Jesus grow me best? And where can Jesus use me best? Great questions. Ask them when you're deciding what job to take, when you're deciding what neighborhood to live in. Ask that when you're deciding what sport, what hobby to pursue in your free time. Where can Jesus grow me best and where can Jesus use me best? There's lots of opportunities for Jesus to use you right here at Harbor Church. We've got serve teams who can use your help right now. I want to highlight just three of them. Watch this video.
Can't make it to church in person, those who are looking for a church at home, and those who've never been to church at all. Whether it's on the media team or in Harbor Kids, there's a place for you. And serving at church just gives you an opportunity to glorify God, serve your brothers and sisters in Christ, and grow in your faith with those who serve you.
Yeah, those are just three opportunities you have to serve, three opportunities for Jesus to use you. There's so many more. And so on your bulletin, if you look at the bottom right side, there's another QR code down there. You can just scan that. That'll give you more information about all of our serve teams, where Jesus can do amazing things in you and through you. So just ask yourself, here in this church and in all of life, where can Jesus grow me best? Where can Jesus use me best? When you ask that, that'll be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you don't just leave us out here all on our own to make little big decisions in life. You promise to move in with us. You promise to drive the car with us because we can make plans, but you determine our steps. Thank you that you've done that through Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you that he died to pay for the bad decisions that we make, and that he rose from the grave to redeem those bad decisions and empower us to make better decisions, great decisions in the future. So Lord, each person in this room and watching online, whatever decisions, big or small, that they have in front of them, I pray that you would draw them close to your side. Thank you for the fatherly affection that you have for each one of them, each one of us, that you want the best for us. Thank you for giving us your Son to ensure the best. It's in his name we pray. Amen.